conscious couples, business partners, and singles committed to attracting their dream partner. Welcome to the Conscious Couples Podcast, where we share our life, love story, and combined relationship expertise to help you create and consistently cultivate the most magnificent intimate relationship possible.
Never again will you feel hopeless and alone in your intimate relationship challenges.
Having accumulated thousands of hours coaching conscious couples and individuals all over the world, as well as starting and growing a global business together, Alan and I are here to guide you and all things relationships.
Thank you again for tuning into the one place where it's not about you or me, it's about the we. Conscious couples and individuals, welcome back to the one and only Conscious Couples Podcast. Today we have episode number 116. Are you overswinging between clingy and avoidant? We all have. You will find out. Before we jump into this episode, we want to thank Next Level Podcast Solutions for producing this show and so many others, for bringing personal development, mental health, self-improvement to the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Personal growth, all things. We appreciate you. Sweetheart, as always, ladies first, what is your intention for today's episode?
My intention for today's episode is to help our listeners understand why they might be swinging from avoidant or clingy and help them swing towards the center more in their intimate relationships and in their relationships in general. And I think that that will help them. I know it will.
So here's the problem. Everything in coaching is a optimal stopping problem. The advice, the medicine that you give to one patient is a cure, but it's actually deadly to the other. So everything is constructive or destructive. And so with podcasting and speaking with bigger audiences, it's difficult to understand how to give guidance and advice. And the reason why is because of this pendulum that we're referring to. So if Emilia and I were to sit here and say, hey, you're being a little bit too clingy in your relationship and you need to kind of let go a little bit. Hold on loosely, but don't let go. That would be great advice for half of you. But for someone who's already hyper-individualistic and avoidant, the last thing you need to do is worry about being clingy. Yeah. And so that's what's so challenging about our work, sweetheart, is that it's all custom. And that's why relationship talks coaching is so much more powerful, because we can customize the medicine to the patient,
that's
so to speak.
I love it.
Samesies. But that said, so we did an event, as you know. This is a second podcast recording about the event.
Yeah.
It was event number 34. I don't remember the title.
Who's your partner getting bad advice from?
Yeah. Okay. Who's your partner getting bad advice from? In the event, in the slides, you had put two definitions that I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And we're going to define them. One is called hyper-individualism, and one of them is called enmeshment.
Yes.
True?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the members, the attendees at the event, ended up saying, whoa, I used to be overly clingy, aka overly enmeshed in my early relationships. Now I'm single as it gets and avoiding all relationships because of how much that hurt me.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the pendulum of experience. And I know that you also wanted to share something from a client as well.
Yeah. So hyper-individualism, do you want to go into definition? Yeah. I think that that will be really helpful, because for someone who's listening to this episode, I know that awareness around relationships is going to be super critical as your tool to be able to have more effective, more fulfilling, more aligned relationships. And how do we do that when we haven't grown up knowing these words or having language to articulate what we are experiencing and what we're, the behaviors that we're navigating and swimming in every single day when it comes to relationships? We can't. So we're trying to do what we can on this episode and on this podcast to educate and raise that awareness, bring in the ABCs of emotions, bring in the definitions that help us make sense of our worlds and our most psychology when it comes to interacting with our partners. So I think that grounding the definition is going to be really helpful for all of us, so that we actually have words to articulate what our experiences are. And hyper-individualism is a really important one that connects deeply to the avoidance. When you're having a strong avoidance towards something, especially people, you're going more towards that individualistic lifestyle. That is when you're likely swinging to, in this metaphor, the hyper-individualistic tendencies. So, without further ado, love.
When Emilia and I first got together nearly 5 years ago, I intuitively sensed I'm going to teach you the external world and you're going to teach me the internal world. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like an infinity symbol. She shares with me what's going on inside of me, and then I share with her what's going on out there in the world. And we together are better.
Yes.
And it's been a little bit of both, but for the most part, that's been true. And yeah. I just intuitively knew that. But I didn't never heard either of these terms before. Yeah. And so I'm on this conscious couples journey. One of the cool parts about this is that you're definitely someone who's been studying this stuff basically your whole life. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of on that journey with you, and not only experiencing it with you, but you're teaching me. I'm doing it and experimenting with it in our relationship, and then bringing it back and transcoding your guidance in a way. It's a really cool.
It's awesome.
The love train of the Conscious Couples podcast is really quite powerful.
Yeah.
So that said, I wanted to ask you so the first time I ever heard either of these words was on last Thursday night.
Yeah.
When did you first study these?
Probably around 13 or 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, word. Of course. Yeah. Did I say last Thursday? It's always cute. Emilia blushes when she
I'm found out.
Yeah, when she's found out.
I'm so such a nerd.
It's the best. It's good. The best. Okay, so this is Emilia's definition. I'm kidding. At 13, she wrote this. No, I'm kidding. Where did we get these definitions?
We actually curated that based on some of the deepest research that I can find. So a culmination of scientific articles.
Perfect. Okay, hyper-individualism. Here we go. And this also is in the title. Are you over-swinging between clingy and avoidant? This is the avoidant.
Yeah.
Okay. Hyper-individualism is a tendency for people to act in a highly individual way without regard for their partner, social groups, or society. It's almost like the rebel. It's the, I don't want to conform at all, so I'm going to overswing and prove my lack of conformity type of thing, okay? So that's hyper-individualism.
Well, individualism really grounds itself in someone wanting to operate on their own accord in their own system. So you and I actually met when I was in a very, again, it's a spectrum, but a more hyper-individualistic phase of my own being. So I was under the impression that, you know, to some extent or another, I was on my own. I was super independent, hyper individual, meaning like I was more focused on what my needs were and more focused on than I had ever been.
Which is good, because prior to that, you were in an 8-year relationship.
I was very enmeshed.
Very enmeshed.
Yes. And so that's something that it's the experience of pretty much the world is revolving around you, and you're doing that likely as an overswing to you revolving around someone else your entire life.
Right.
And so, that's a hyper individual.
So before Emilia and I met, I had messaged her on Instagram. I DM'd her
example.
Several times saying, true or false, are you in a relationship? And I kept on sending it because I'm a coward. And I saw on Facebook that she was in a relationship, but there was no guys and there was no pictures of guys. And so the very first words that Emilia ever spoke to me from a dating frame.
Yeah.
Because obviously before that, you had suggested some episodes and we were
that
connected.
Was to Kev,
yeah. No, I think really? You and I were DMing.
Oh, okay.
You and I were DMing a little. But anyway, so I messaged her. I said, true or false, are you in a relationship? And she said, true, I'm in a relationship with myself.
With myself.
Which is exactly what this is. So she was in an individualism phase.
Yeah.
Potentially hyper, but not sure.
Yeah.
And because you were in, prior to that, a 7 or 8 year relationship.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
So everyone out there listening, we want you thinking about your past. Let's learn from the past.
Right.
Because I remember we've all had that rebel phase of no one tell me what to do. I'm doing me.
Yep.
And then we also have that after we get humble pie from that, eventually we swing and I'm just whatever you want, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And then you lose yourself, right?
You lose yourself, right.
Okay. So that was hyper-individualism. Now we're going to talk about enmeshment.
Yes.
For the clingy amongst us. Enmeshment. Here we go. Enmeshment is a concept in psychology to describe where personal boundaries are diffused, subsystems undifferentiated, and over-concern for others leads to a loss of autonomous development. So, over-concern for whether or not you're good, you and your partner are good, forces you to kind of walk on eggshells, suppress your truth, do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Emilia and I watched Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls the other night. And
Bumblebee Tuna.
There's a scene where he does the slinky. If you've never seen it, it's hilarious. You should see it. It's so funny. But anyways, at the bottom of the stairs, he goes, he wanted to do the slinky again down the stairs. And the guy's like, we really should get going. And he's like, okay. Let's just do all the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
And so if that's how you feel in your relationship, you're most likely overly enmeshed and you need to find yourself.
Yeah. And so I want to kind of break that definition apart to our own personal experiences. Like I said, if we have the definition for things and then we can kind of link it to the behaviors that we experience, we can have a more, I would say, expressed experience and being able to do the reflect on our experiences process that is so important for learning and growing and improving in our relationships. So when we get into a relationship, we are in relation to someone. So I operate as a subsystem, as my own internal system inside and in my own individual life, right? I have my own careers, my own wants and needs, my own standards, my own boundaries, my own goals, aspirations, beliefs, and values. And that is what we call and refer to oftentimes on this podcast as the me. And when we're in relationship talks coaching with clients, or when we refer to this in relationship talks events, we really help our community and our clients really focus on the me so that the we can get better. What oftentimes is the experience for most people, especially the people pleasers out there, is the dissolvency of the me for the sake of the we. This is where compromise is key. Those sayings come up where, oh, well, you have to compromise. You can't integrate. Whereas at the We University, we believe so deeply in a holistic integration of the subsystems to have the me's be able to flourish, i.e., I, in a relation to you or in relationship to you, Alan, I want to flourish and the me needs to flourish. You, as your own me, needs to flourish. You need to encourage your boundaries, encourage your values, encourage your belief systems, encourage your standards, your goal aspirations, your all that stuff needs to be you. Because if you release that, or you started to dissolve that to try to help the relationship exist, there no longer would be that quote unquote gap for the spark to exist in our relationship.
The polarization and the polarity and the tension between masculine and feminine wouldn't be there.
Hi, I'm Derek, and I just wanted to talk about relationship talks with Alan and Amelia. If you're looking to get some help on working with your relationships, you should definitely give them a shot. They can help you identify certain patterns on things that maybe you didn't realize that you've done or that have happened. And if you want to be able to just start really kind of narrowing down the things that you can work on now that'll help you be more efficient for future relationships or even the one that you're in, they are definitely the ones to go see, as clearly they lead an example of what a great relationship should look like. And just in general, they're both incredibly intelligent and smart with just being able to pick out the things that maybe either you missed or that you knew but didn't really quite click yet. So you should definitely, definitely give them a shot, because they're very, very helpful and efficient at what they do.
If you're too far apart,
that's
hyper-individualism,
right?
So the idea here, again, as all things with the conscious couples, and if you listen to Evolve Ventures or Next Level University, it's the same deal.
Yeah.
The extremes are never the answer.
No.
If you're overly hyper-individualism, that's kind of like the never get married, never commit to anything, never share a car, never live together. We can't have a bank account together.
Completely rely on all of your friends for advice. Yep. Don't actually turn towards your partner when there are conflicts at all.
Exactly. And so no enmeshment whatsoever is not the solution.
Right.
Then you have on the other side where it's you can't do anything alone. You can't even go to the movies alone.
Right.
You can't go to the gym alone. You need your partner there with you. That's sort of your safety blanket.
Yeah.
And so that is the two extremes. And I think we've all swung the pendulum naturally in our lives. And so you had a client that you wanted to share.
I was just going
to
say a quick story. So I have two women in mind right now, but one of them that I'm going to share is a past client of mine who she was incredibly enmeshed in her marriage by the time that she and I started coaching.
And they had gotten married young.
They had gotten married really young and pretty much grew together. But in that relationship, they actually grew apart, but had to stay together because she was so enmeshed in the relationship, meaning she stopped becoming a me because she was way focused on the we, because she was financially dependent on her partner. She started to dissolve any sort of standards that she had for herself just to take care and support her partner and her partner's parents who also lived with them. And she pretty much let go all of her values, her belief systems, her goals and aspirations that she did have so that she could survive in the relationship. And I hear this honestly a lot, especially with the women of relationships that I coach with. And I know you coach a lot of women as well. And it's so easy to do that when you just so happen to be someone that isn't as empowered because your generational systems are saying, go rely on your man or go rely on your partner for the income, for stability, for emotional support, et cetera, et cetera. And just like her, she was so enmeshed that she realized, and I remember having this conversation with her where my heart broke. She's like, I'm not even in love anymore. Like, yeah. I'm not in love anymore. And it's, I don't know if I ever was, to be honest. I got into this relationship so young because it, quote unquote, seemed right, but that was a fleeting feeling. And we built a whole life together. We lived together, you know, he was the breadwinner. So I had to, you know, drive his car and ask him for permission. Like, I couldn't even go to the gym without him. Like, it started to become a really, I'll use the word toxic for this, but like, it was a non-adaptive relationship because she couldn't be her own person in the relationship and have that relationship thrive. As a matter of fact, whenever she did establish her own boundaries, she started to reinvigorate her own values when we were coaching together, and she started to get more empowered. That turned her partner off and got her partner really cagey and very insecure and very, you know, willing to jab and villainize someone who's trying to empower her, trying to reestablish the me in the relationship. Yeah. And unfortunately, that relationship didn't really serve her. And I'm so grateful for her because she actually took the guidance and took the empowerment and really found herself through our coaching and ended up ending that marriage and finding herself.
I gotta say too, I know this person and I'm a huge fan, but I think I saw some overswings.
Oh, there was a lot of overswing.
Like, imagine someone who gets married young, very, very kind of draws within the lines and never had that real rebel phase.
Oh yeah.
For me, alcohol, drugs, I went too far, I think. Yep. But she overswung after that a little bit. And
that's how you find yourself.
Yeah. And so we've all had that. A lot of people, I don't want to project anyone, but a lot of us have had that rebel phase where we make some poor choices.
Yeah.
And I think that I saw and witnessed some of that. But again, it makes sense because if you've been that caged, quote unquote, metaphorically.
Right.
For that long, of course, there's going to be an overswing. As a matter of fact, one more thing I want to bring into this real quick.
And I want to add on that really quick too. With that, there's actually data that I didn't share in the Relationship Talks event number 34 that we did because I figured it'd be too much of a mirror. There's data that shows that the younger you get married, there's a direct correlation with how much you lose yourself.
Yeah.
And therefore, the lack of happiness, lack of fulfillment, lack of like
that is
stability.
Why you and I didn't get married young.
Oh yeah,
I remember thinking you don't even know who you are.
You don't know who you are.
For anyone out there who did get married young, I'm not. Yeah. We're not trying to be
not at all
projecting onto you, but you know as well as we do that there's some truth to how much you've evolved. I mean, think about who you were at 20 versus who you are at 30.
Right.
The amount you evolve and grow hopefully is drastic.
Yeah.
And so are you growing together or apart? And one last statistic that goes really well with that, and then we do got to get out of here, is I was with a team member at NLU, and we were looking at some statistics and research, and I don't know it well enough to quote it, but what I do know is the divorce rate after children become 18 is a huge skyrocket.
Yeah.
So what my team member said is what women do particularly, and she's a woman, so she's speaking for women. I'm not.
Yeah.
But she said what women tend to do is they wait for the kids until the kids leave the house.
Yeah.
Then they finally get divorced.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were really just biding their time.
Yeah.
And that's like a thing. And so at the Conscious Couples podcast, we call spades a spade. We like to look at the truth and the data.
We look at the data.
And the truth of the matter is that neither one of these extremes is good.
Yeah.
And I want Emilia to be in a relationship with me where she feels like she can be her full empowered self and grow and evolve into that.
Yes.
While also staying in enmeshment as well. And so I don't want her to
to want to live her life entirely separate, but mm-hmm. I also don't want to force her to be what I think she should be. And so right. so there's a center point here, and we all know intuitively whether or not we're in it.
Right.
And you really do have to constantly check in on, am I being overly enmeshed or am I being hyper individual?
Mm.
Do we spend enough time together? Do we spend too much time together? Yeah. You've got to keep a pulse on it. So
is there codependency? Is there security in our relationship to where my partner can go out and grow and try new things and do what they want to do? And if it ruffles some feathers, do we have the skill set to be able to talk about it and express our true, most innermost feelings? And that's where, if there's a no to that, that's where relationship talks come in handy.
100%. One last quick story. So I remember probably a year and a half ago, I was going to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
And it was going to be with a lot of people from my past that you know are not best for me.
Yeah.
And you did this really well, I think, in hindsight. I didn't know what you were doing at the time, but now I'm brilliant.
Thank you.
So so Emilia had said, this is, if you want to go, go. And maybe you have to learn on your own. But I do want to share with you that it's probably not going to be what's best for you. And most likely after, you're going to regret it.
I said something along the lines of, like, based on what you've shared with me, yeah. this seems to be an out of alignment event that you would
yes,
go to.
And it was. And I didn't end up going, which was huge.
Yeah.
And I ended up watching, looking at photos.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even believe that I was even considering it.
Yeah.
And again, at the end of the day, Emilia knows my standards for myself. And she doesn't want to cage me, but she also wants to help me.
Yeah.
And so that's a fine line right there of,
yeah.
well, what do you mean I can't go to that wedding?
Right.
No, of course you can, but you're going to regret it and I'm going to have to hear about it
right.
after. So can we just save all that and just have you make a good choice, Alan, for Christ's sake?
No,
I'm kidding. All right. So anything you want to add?
No, I think we should wrap up.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. So the three takeaways are, number one, if you're overly enmeshed, you're basically overly clingy
yep.
and you don't want anything to change and you're creating too much need for certainty for the relationship or the individuals within it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're overly hyper-individualistic, you're basically trying to be a rebel, entirely avoiding any bank account, connection, finances. You're not planning together for the future. You don't even want to plan
sharing
for the future.
Is not caring for you.
Exactly. You don't even want to plan for the future at all because yeah. you might not want that. Yeah. So those are the two extremes. And then the third takeaway is just check in. Where are you? We're all either at, maybe you're swinging between 4 and 6.
I would say check in where you think you're at on that spectrum and where you're headed, because I think trend line is really important to look at.
Exactly.
Like, where are you headed?
So maybe you're a 7 headed down, but if you're a 7 headed up, that's dangerous
yeah.
because 10 is overly hyper-individualistic.
Yeah.
0 is overly enmeshed. I think we probably should have reversed that. That's my bad. Redo. Okay. Redo. For the production team, don't redo. That was all good. 0 would be 0 enmeshment. 10 would be hyper-individual. No.
If there's 0 enmeshment, then likely there's hyper-individualism.
Exactly.
So,
I screwed that
yeah,
up again.
Yeah, I would
okay.
just leave it what you first said it.
Okay. We'll leave it as what I first said. Now I've confused everybody. That's my bad. My alarm is going off. I have to take the fur babies out. We must go. If you have not yet booked Relationship Talks coaching, give that a shot. It will be super, super powerful. If you're on the too far on the enmeshed or too far on the hyper-individual, we will help you get to center.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an event coming up.
First one's free. Every single Saturday, we have that in our calendar. So first one's free. And we also are breaking out our hybrid program too, where couples can get together, they can come on, and then we can split off into individual coaching and then come back together, the four of us. So super excited for that. Also in the link, the show notes, you will see a invite for you to come to our next Relationship Talks event. It will be our 35th event on May 16th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. How is your self-talk sabotaging your relationship? Believe it or not, the more we learn about relationships and the behind the scenes and the thought patterns that are involved in our interactions in relationships, the more there is self-sabotage going on in the relationship as a result of the self-talk that people have, the inner dialogue. And so if you leave that unchecked, chances are you guys are going to grow apart, and we don't want that happening to
this community.
What
would be an example of poor self-talk?
So poor self-talk would be like if you were to express a gratitude to me and all of a sudden, because of my upbringing, because of my past, you happen to not have it express gratitude with a happy face or a smile. I could be interpreting that in my own internal world, and my thought pattern might be like, this gratitude isn't true because Alan doesn't have a smile on his face, i.e. is this is Alan lying about this gratitude?
And all of this is unconscious.
Yeah, all of this is unconscious. Okay. And so our Relationship Talks event is going to help bring the unconscious to the conscious mind and help you be able to choose what thoughts you're having to construct a really adaptive, healthy, and fulfilling relationship rather than just letting your unguarded, unconscious mind wreak havoc on your relationships.
As always, thank you all for listening. We appreciate you very, very much. And it's not about you or me. It's about
the we.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Conscious Couples Podcast. We love connecting with the Conscious Couples community, so please make sure you follow us on Instagram. I am at Evolve with Amelia, and Alan is A Lazarus 88.
Also, if you or your partner resonated with this episode, leave us a review at the link in the show notes, and please share this with someone you love and care about.
Until next time, remember, it's not about you or me. It's about
the we.